Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, June 11th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 5, let's start the corrected translation at verse 18. And I'm going to make a promise. We're going to finish chapter 5. Woo! And if we don't, I lied. Romans 5, starting at verse 18. So then, as through one transgression, that's Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, that is the salvation work of Christ on the cross, there resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many, those who believe in Christ, will be caused to be made righteous. Verse 20. Now the law came in as a minor actor to play a minor role, in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase and multiply. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace increased in superabundance. Verse 21. So that just as the sin nature has ruled in the sphere of spiritual death, so also the grace of God might rule through imputed righteousness because of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that last phrase, through Jesus Christ our Lord, will bring us to, we're going to take a study now of the Lordship of Christ, the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ. Point one is definition and description. We're going to amplify that. Subpoint one, in the title of the second person of the Trinity, there are three words. Kurios, Jesus, Christos. K-U-R-I-O-S. This is translated Lord. And then we have Jesus. I long E. S-O-U-S. This is transliterated, not translated. It's transliterated Jesus. And then there's the third word, Christos. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, Christos. And again, this has been transliterated Christ. So we have three words here. Subpoint two, Kurios, Lord, refers to the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. So Kurios refers to the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Jesus, transliterated Jesus, literally means Savior. And it's a title for the true humanity of Jesus Christ. So Kurios refers to the deity of Jesus Christ as eternal God. Jesus, Jesus, refers to the true humanity of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. It was the true humanity of Christ that went to the cross, received the imputation of the sins of the whole world, and the judgment of those sins was in Jesus Christ in His body on the cross. Deity can't die. So the eternal Son of God had to become true humanity. The greatest miracle that the world will ever know. The eternal Son of God, through the incarnation and virgin birth on that first Christmas, took on true humanity. Why did He take on true humanity? To carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. To carry out Operation Grace. And solve the world problem of sin. To solve the world problem of sin, the God-man, Jesus Christ, He had to take on true humanity to go to a cross, be imputed with the sins of the world, and judge for those sins. So the eternal Son of God, Kurios, Lord, on that very first Christmas, took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth. And then the third word, Christos, it's transliterated Christ, but it means the Anointed One. And Christos is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word Mashiach. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's M Shiva, S-H-I-A-C-H. Mashiach, as transliterated in the scriptures as Messiah, in the Old Testament scriptures, Messiah. But it means the anointed one. Mashiach, Messiah, means the anointed one. And Christos, Christ, means the anointed one. Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. Now, we have stated in the New Testament scriptures, Jesus is the Christ. When it states that, it is saying, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one that God the Father anointed to come through the incarnation and virgin birth and to go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin. So, Kurios Jesus Christos, Lord Jesus Christ. Subpoint three. Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He was always the eternal Son of God. But on that very first Christmas, through the incarnation and virgin birth, He took on true humanity. And now He is undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. He had to become true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth in order to go to the cross and take our place and be judged for our sins. Subpoint four. So in the title of the second person of the Trinity, Lord refers to the deity of Christ, Jesus refers to the true humanity of Christ, and Christ refers to his messiahship as the legitimate and eternal King of Israel. So in the title of the second person of the Trinity, Lord refers to the deity of Christ, Jesus refers to the true humanity of Christ, and Christ refers to His messiahship as the legitimate and eternal King of Israel. That's definition. Point two, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He is the only Savior. Turn over to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. There is only one Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Acts 4 verse 12. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else. There is only one Savior. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Now let's amplify that. Subpoint one. Because Jesus Christ was judged for our sins on the cross, because Jesus Christ was judged for our sins on the cross, becoming our substitute, and taking our place, becoming our substitute and taking our place, we who have believed in Him for eternal salvation have Him as our Lord. Because Jesus Christ was judged for our sins on the cross, becoming our substitute, and taking our place, we who have believed in Him for eternal salvation have Him as our Lord. Ephesians 4 verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That phrase, one Lord, that's subpoint two. Subpoint two, one Lord means Jesus Christ was Lord in eternity past, is Lord now, and always will be Lord. One Lord means Jesus Christ was Lord in eternity past, he is Lord now, he will always be Lord. Subpoint three, one faith. One faith means we are all saved in exactly the same way by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. One faith means we are all saved in exactly the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ. Subpoint four, one baptism refers to the baptism of the Spirit, not water baptism. One baptism refers to the baptism of the Spirit. It refers to that point of when you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Christ forever at the point of salvation, in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. One baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. At the moment of faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit enters you into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords forever. And subpoint five, this makes Jesus Christ our Lord forever. Whether we know it or not, he is our Lord forever. We will always be in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. He is our Lord forever. Point three, the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. Subpoint one, since the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, since the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, Jesus Christ is the God-man. Undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. Since the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, the eternal Son of God left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth, took on true humanity to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. That whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. So since the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, Jesus Christ is the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. Subpoint two. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, and then ascended to the throne room in the third heaven, God the Father said to him, sit down at my right hand. When Jesus Christ was resurrected and ascended to the throne room in the third heaven, God the Father said to him, sit down at my right hand. That could only happen because Jesus Christ is now the God-man. Deity doesn't sit. Humanity sits. Deity doesn't sit. As God, Jesus Christ is immanent and transcendent. He fills all the universe and therefore does not sit anywhere as God. But this was addressed to his humanity. As humanity, Jesus Christ went to the cross and was judged for our sins. As God, Jesus Christ could not die for our sins. Deity can't die. He had to be true and perfect humanity. And therefore he was the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God without spot, without blemish, who takes away the sins of the whole world. No one else could do this. Only the impeccable God-man, Jesus Christ. Since the first advent, Jesus Christ is the God-man as undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever. Now he is resurrected. After his resurrection, he spent 40 days on the earth, after which he then ascended into the presence of the Father. And then the Father said to him in his hypostatic union, "Sit down at my right hand." Subpoint 3. As the God-man, Jesus Christ is different from all members of the human race. He is true humanity, but as the God-man, Jesus Christ is different from all members of the human race because he is the eternal God. And this is a deep point, but we are not. As the God-man, Jesus Christ is different from all members of the human race because he is eternal God. Subpoint 4. He is also different from the other two members of the Trinity because he is true humanity. He is also different from the other two members of the Trinity because he is true humanity. The Father is not true humanity. The Spirit is not true humanity. But the Lord Jesus Christ, ever since the incarnation and virgin birth, he is now the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. So he is also different from the other two members of the Trinity because he is true humanity. Subpoint 5. As infinite and eternal God, Jesus Christ is superior to all creatures, both angelic and human. As infinite and eternal God, Jesus Christ is superior to all creatures, both angelic and human. In hypostatic union, where he is undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever, Jesus Christ continues to be superior to all creatures, both angelic and human. The glorified humanity of Christ in a resurrection body is superior to angels, Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, and he is also superior to all mankind, Philippians chapter 2. So the glorified humanity of Christ in a resurrection body is superior to all angels, Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, superior to all mankind, Philippians 2. Subpoint 6. Jesus Christ created and controls the universe. Jesus Christ created and controls the universe. Prior to the incarnation, prior to that very first Christmas, as eternal God, Jesus Christ, created all things. He created the universe. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created all things. And this is documented in several passages in the New Testament. Also in Genesis 1:1. But turn over to John 1, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1, verse 3. Before that very first Christmas, prior to the incarnation and virgin birth, Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, the creator of the universe. John 1:3 says, all things came into being. All things were created by the agency of Him, the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ. And apart from Him, the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ, nothing came into being. Nothing was created that has been created or come into being. That's John 1:3. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him, Jesus Christ, and for Him. And then verse 17 goes, not only did He create all things, He is before all things, and by Him, Jesus Christ, all things hold together. He is in control of the universe to carry out the plan that the Father has. And then Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 10. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, in eternity past, O Lord, You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. Now just go back to verse 3. Hebrews 1, 3. The sun is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. So not only did Jesus Christ create the universe, He is sustaining the universe. He's sustaining planet Earth. So regardless of what the liberals, Democrats, socialists all say, we are not going to destroy the planet by having a gas-operated vehicle. That is the stupidest thing that's ever come from the mouth of man. And now they want to eliminate stoves that operate on gas. Well, I have gas-operated stoves. I have a gas-operated vehicle. And they can put me in prison, but I am going to keep that gas-operated vehicle. We are not. I'm not destroying the planet. You're not. Who do you think you are? You think you're greater than God is? Jesus Christ is sustaining the planet. Jesus Christ is sustaining planet Earth until the plan of God is finished. We aren't going to destroy what Jesus Christ is sustaining. Are you greater than Jesus Christ? Are you greater than the creator of the universe? No. But you see, at one time in our country, at one time in our nation, we had believers in Jesus Christ who studied the Word of God. And they knew what the Word of God said. And they believed what the Word of God says. Today, we do have believers in Jesus Christ in America, but they don't study the Word of God anymore. They don't know what the Scriptures say. They don't believe what the Scriptures say. And as a result, we see the United States of America on the verge of destruction. And we're doing it to ourselves. We're destroying ourselves by our own bad decisions. But at one point, this nation was founded on Christians who believed the absolute truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ created and sustains the universe. Subpoint 7. The hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ is documented throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. So let's document the hypostatic union of our Lord Jesus Christ, undiminished deity and true humanity. Let's turn back to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And this is a great, when you study this from the Koine Greek, the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And this is fantastic in the Koine Greek. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning, and again, this is in the beginning, which was not a beginning, in eternity past. And then we have a verb here. E-I-M-I. This is the Greek to be verb. And it's in the imperfect tense. So what that means is, in eternity past, in the beginning, which was not a beginning, in eternity past, the Logos. Who is the Logos? Jesus Christ, the living Word. Jesus Christ is the Logos, L-O-G-O-S. He is the living Word. In eternity past, the Logos, Jesus Christ, imperfect tense of Ami, He kept on being and existing the Logos. And the Logos, Jesus Christ, Ami, eternally was existing face to face with God, face to face with God the Father. So this Logos, Jesus Christ, kept on existing face to face with God the Father in eternity past. And the Logos, Jesus Christ, kept on being God. He kept on being the eternal God. Verse 2. He was Ami, He kept on being, from eternity past, face to face with God, face to face with God the Father, in the beginning, in eternity past, which was not a beginning. I mean, that is so powerful in the Greek. And then, through Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created. Without Him, nothing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it. Now go down to verse 14. So in verses 1 through 5, we have Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Logos. He was eternally God. And then verse 14, that eternal God, the Logos, the Word, the Logos, became something He never was before. He became flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Now he is for the first time not only undiminished deity, now He is also true humanity. The Logos, the Word, became flesh, incarnation and virgin birth on that very first Christmas, and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the uniquely born one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. All right, let's start at Romans 1, verse 3. Regarding his Son, this is the eternal Son of God, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who, this is the true humanity of Jesus Christ. So through the incarnation and virgin birth, he was born. He came in through as the Son of David, true humanity, and was through the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, he was declared with power to be the Son of God, deity, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now turn over to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, starting at verse 4. Romans 9, 4. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption as sons, theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the Mosaic law on Mount Sinai, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. Jesus Christ in his humanity is the Son of David. The human ancestry of Christ. And who is he? Who is God over all, the eternal God over all, forever praised. Amen. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Starting at verse 5. Your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, that is, he is God in his essence, in his very essence, who being in his very essence, he is God, his deity. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He was always eternal God. But he made himself nothing. This is the Greek word kenao. This is the true doctrine of kenosis, the voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, the true humanity of Jesus Christ. So in his very essence, he is God, eternal deity, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, took on true humanity. And why? So that he then humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He had to become true humanity to solve the world problem of sin and fulfill Operation Grace, the cross. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3, verse 16. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He, the eternal Son of God, appeared in a body, the incarnation and virgin birth on that very first Christmas. So he, the eternal Son of God, took on true humanity. He appeared in a body. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was proclaimed among the nations. He was believed on in the world and was taken up in glory. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, flesh and blood, since we have, that's humanity, he too, the Lord Jesus Christ, shared in their humanity, true humanity of Christ, through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God, took on true humanity. Why? So that by his death, his strategic victory on the cross, solving the world problem of sin, so that by his death on the cross, he might destroy him, Satan, who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Now turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, starting at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, and the beginning here is the at first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, that is, Jesus Christ in his true humanity. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. That is a special title of Jesus Christ in his deity. This is a title of Jesus Christ in his deity, the eternal life. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was face to face with the Father in eternity past and has appeared to us through the incarnation and virgin birth. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Powerful passage on the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Well, we didn't finish chapter 5 in the first class, but we got another class. We'll take a break and come back in a few with part 2.